Dude, I'm doing great. How are you guys?
We're doing fine. We're just debating the, I don't know if you want to weigh in here, the Hall of Fame merits of Frank Gore. I'm sure you had a unique view on his career.
Listen, I'm going to tell you right now, whoever says Frank Gore is not a Hall of Famer is going to get it from me, I swear to God. I'm not even warning you guys.
I don't think anybody even said it.
Good.
I said aggressively that Eli Manning's not a Hall of Famer. Do you have an opinion on that?
I would agree with you on that, but he is a Manning, therefore he will make it in.
Yeah, I tend to agree.
I'm going to ask another question on this, and then we can move on to even less important things. If Eli Manning did the same things that he did for the Tennessee Titans, would this be a discussion?
Yeah, I think it would. I think it doesn't. I think being in New York has no merit. I think the fact is, people look at this and they go, "Dude, his record was 117-117. Take away two Super Bowl wings, you have less than a 500 record, and you're a quarterback. Like, your job is to win games, to help us win games. When we come down the stretch, you're the reason we win or the reason we lose. And if you don't have a good record, like, I get that he played a lot of games in a row. That's really awesome, and congratulations. But that doesn't always sum up your career. And to me, they had two good years, and not even that. Like, the one year they snuck in there and they beat us, but, you know, they had good defenses. And when you're looking at his career, it's like, yeah, he could maybe get in, but he's a Manning.
Can we save that sound? Because I think that was the perfect sound to encapsulate Eli Manning's career.
Alex Boone with us. Hey, Alex, how difficult is it to maintain the consistency and the consistent performance the Niners have gotten from their O-line this year, given the fact that virtually everybody at one time or another was injured?
Yeah, and that's what, I mean, that goes credit to Kyle Shanahan and how amazingly smart he is, right? Like, he's not one of these guys that gets up here and goes, hey, listen, figure it out. He goes, hey, listen, let me help you figure it out. This is what we're going to do. We're going to do a lot of hides this week. We're going to do a lot of smokes. We're going to do a lot of ghosts around. We're going to keep people honest. And in keeping them honest, we're going to slow down their rush because, number one, we're going to run the ball. And number two, we're going to play action off of that, which is going to help us in the pass game.
With all the analysis that's gone on this week, and it's already mind-numbing, is there a point that you'd like to make that you haven't heard anybody else make about this game or how it could be played out?
No, I think that people are looking so far into this game. I think the bottom line is going to come down to this. Who gets to whatever team gets to the opposing team's quarterback early and often will win. That is how this game is going to be played. And I get that everyone's like, listen, they got to stop the run game. You're going into the Super Bowl. You're going to be so geeked up, you're not even going to be worried about the run game. You're going to be like, listen, I'm just going to try and keep myself from not jumping off sides. You're all going to be really hyped up and super excited. And yes, the 49ers being able to run the ball is going to be huge. But whoever can phase the other quarterback first is going to win because these are the two guys that people are overlooking. And even with Patrick Mahomes being as good as he is, I think people underestimate how much of this game is going to be relied on him.
So from the perspective of an inside lineman, I feel like we've heard a lot about moving edge guys into the interior on pass downs. How does that affect what you do as an interior lineman when you see, all right, all of a sudden it's not the guy I'm usually staring at, but Frank Clark has just come inside to rush at me?
Right. Well, the number one, they do that because, and I'm going to be honest with you, interior offensive linemen are lazy, and they're fat, and they're slow, and they can't keep up with the edge guys, right? Like, that's why they used to do it. But they didn't realize, for me, that was always the greatest thing. Like, bringing in a short or a long guy that was fast, like, that's in their wheelhouse. You don't want a big guy trying to pick you up, and that's what people forget sometimes, is that sometimes having the big guy in the middle that just pushes the pocket. I think of, like, a Linville Joseph. Like, sometimes people are like, why is he in on third down? Because he's just going to push the pocket straight ahead. He's not going to get cute and fancy and get out of his rush lane. He's just going to barrel you back into your quarterback, and that's going to be the biggest surprise because it's easy for a quarterback to outmaneuver the edge. Like, he can move around in the pocket. When the pocket starts to close in on him from the front, like, that's when you see them panic because they're like, well, I can't go to the edge and I can't duck out of this one. Where do I go? That's when bad things start happening.
Alex Boone, nice enough to join us, former 49er. He's a 95.7 49er insider. Alex, please help us understand a little bit this this zone stretch running scheme. I was talking once to Anthony Munoz, and he was saying that offensive linemen love zone blocking because it's like you're on a string, and it's like a search and destroy mission. Is that how you see it? Do typically offensive linemen prefer or at least enjoy a zone blocking scheme?
I think you absolutely enjoy it. Number one, because it's a chance for, like you said, to get the big guys running, right? Like, when you get those interior guys running, then they get a little bit out of shape, then they're huffing and puffing, then all of a sudden the pass game comes. You're like, big dog, I'm ready to roll. You're not. But more importantly, you get those linebackers out of position. And the great thing about what Kyle does is he manipulates these linebackers so many different ways. Like at times he'll toss the ball, which forces them to get on their high horse. And then you have these Deebo Samuel type guys cracking them down. And they're like, wait a minute, now what? Then you turn to a zone and you have a Kittle kicking back on the defensive end and they start to slow play. Well, now they're too late. It's constantly changing up the rhythm of the linebackers and getting those big guys in the interior to start running back and forth. It tires them out after a while.
Do you have a comment on the South Dakota restaurant that was themed after the Minnesota Vikings that closed the week after the playoff game that they lost?
I mean, I feel terrible. That sounds rough. I mean, I don't know. I don't have a comment on that. That sounds terrible.
Well, I thought you'd play with it a little bit. They lasted five months. They were as good as long as the Vikings were.
I mean, I think the Vikings kind of ran themselves out of the playoffs, and by doing that, they didn't run it enough, and that was their own demise. They started playing a game that they weren't comfortable with, and that's the truth in going into this Super Bowl. I don't think people understand what this defensive front is going to do to Kansas City. Like, I understand that Patrick Mahomes is incredible, but he doesn't really have the best front five in front of him rolling around, and at times, Robert Saleh is like, I don't even know how to blitz because we've never really had to.
Toward that end, what are the things that Kansas City's defensive line can do that they haven't been credited with so far?
I think that they're coming on right now as a solid team. I think that I'm not so much concerned about their front end as I am their back end. I think that Tyrann Mathieu right now is playing lights out, and I think he's giving this defense juice that they haven't really had the last couple of years. You talk about a Spagnuolo-type defense that's coming in, at times can play very exotic and change it up, and you get a Chris Jones in the middle who, like we just talked about, sometimes you just need a big body to push it. They can do some things. I'm just concerned, can their linebackers keep up with Kittle, number one, and number two, can they tackle three running backs all day long?
Yeah, and when you asked that last question, I mean, even looking at how they've improved, other than what we saw last week, which was very impressive, generally speaking, the Chiefs' run defense has not been good, even as the pass defense has gotten better with Mathieu. Can they force the Niners to even engage in the passing game if their run defense isn't up to snuff?
Not a chance. You look at Green Bay, right? They came back and they were like, listen, we're going to have an answer. We're all still waiting to see that answer, by the way. Make no mistake, gentlemen. They did not even come close to stopping the 49ers' run game. And if you're a good defense, you know that you have to stop the run in order to pin your ears back and let that quarterback start making mistakes. People are like, why didn't they throw it more? Why would you want to throw it more? Bad things happen when you throw the ball. Let's just run it down their throat and see if they really want to go to the championship, which they don't.
Alex, before we let you go, could you share with us, what's the etiquette when, you know, it happens? The guy you're supposed to be blocking, you know, sacks the quarterback. Do you say, my bad? Do you help the guy up? You make a joke to lighten the mood in the huddle? I mean, what's it feel like when everyone's looking down there on TV and everyone can see that, wow, that guy got beat? What's the etiquette and what does that feel like?
Number one, it feels terrible, especially because, I mean, you love your quarterback to death, and then you just saw him get obliterated by the guy you're supposed to be blocking. Like, you're like, oh, my God, I've just let everybody down. Number one, you always help him up because it's your fault he's on the ground, so you got to help him up. Number two, you always have to apologize, even if it means like a smack on the butt. Like, hey, man, listen, won't happen again. I'm really sorry. And then after that, you got to start talking as much smack as you can to the D lineman. Like, dude, it's on now. Now you pissed me off. I'm coming for you. And turn around and be like, God, I hope he doesn't do that again.
Well, it sounds like you think the 49ers have an excellent chance to win this game when it finally does arrive, huh, Alex?
Absolutely. I think this D-line's going to have a great chance to go after Patrick the whole game, and we'll see what he can do under duress.
All right, sir. Thank you for your time. We appreciate it. Have a great weekend.
You guys are the best.